Hello, dear friends. Welcome to worship today in this online service at St. Stephen's United Church here in Qualicum Beach. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you say the call to worship with me today? Behold, God is doing a new thing. Here, now, in the midst of daily life, the Holy One who created heaven and earth forms us afresh today. Let our spirits rise to meet our Maker. Amen. And let's light the Christ candle here and at home if you have one, remembering that Jesus Christ came into this world to show us the way back to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross, and to follow after you, to find our lives by giving them up to your greater purpose. So we come before you this morning with open hearts and open hands, eager to hear your word and eager to know your will. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, move within us and among us as we worship. Open our eyes to your presence. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to one another. And then send us back out into the world to live and work as your faithful disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. The prayer of confession today is also responsive. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your unending faithfulness. We come into your presence with praise and with hope, for you are good and you call us your own. You created us in your image and you shepherd us through this life, calling us by name and leading us in your way. We confess that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have wandered from your path, choosing to walk in shadow rather than light. We have built fences and believed they make us better neighbors. We have created requirements and believed they were yours. We have stood silent as the door was shut. We have called for peace without working for justice. Forgive us, Lord, forgive our inadequate imaginations, for we cannot see the height and depth and breadth of your love. Forgive our closed eyes and hearts and minds, keeping the light at bay. Forgive our complicity in the systems of injustice that make the world go round. Open us to know your truth and to live according to your word. Help us to experience the fullness of your grace, and then make us true reflections of that grace for others. Guide us once again into the abundant life that you desire for all creation. We ask in the name of the one whose love we see on the cross and in the empty tomb, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
God's presence is in us, between us, embracing us. God is love. Through the unity of the Spirit, we are shaped into a community that lives to fulfill love's presence. We are forgiven people, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. We have two readings today. Our first is from Romans chapter 12, And I'm reading verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 16, and I'm reading verses 21 to 28. And in these verses, Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
Christ has no body now but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for this world is to look out. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. It's a quote from St. Teresa of Avila. Our hands and feet, however frail or young, are to be the hands and feet of Christ. In a book by Max Lucado called Just Like Jesus, he asked the reader to look at their hands, and I invite you to do that now. Look at the outside, look at the palm of your hands. See the lines and the scars, and think about what they did just this morning. Clenching, reaching, holding. This is a quote from his book. What if someone were to film a documentary on your hands? What if a producer were to tell a story on the life of your hands? What would they see? Well, with all of us, it would probably start with a tiny fist, a little tiny hand, perhaps maybe holding on to a parent's finger. And then what? Holding onto a chair as you learn to walk, holding a spoon as you learn to eat. Maybe it would see you petting a puppy or a kitten, stroking your father's face, being affectionate. Now, if you were to show the documentary to your friends, you'd be proud of certain moments, your hands extending a gift, placing a ring on someone's finger, doctoring a wound, preparing a meal. And then there are the other scenes, hands taking more than giving, demanding instead of offering, pushing your big brother or grabbing a toy. That same hand can hurt or heal, extend, clench, lift someone up or shove someone down. Oh, the power of our hands. Leave them unmanaged and they become weapons, clawing for power and strangling for survival. But manage them and our hands become instruments of grace. Not just tools in the hands of God, but God's very hands. End quote. Today we heard two scripture readings, one from Matthew and one from Romans. One was Jesus telling us that we are not in the driver's seat. He is. Anyone who decides to come with Jesus has to know that he is in control. The other is to remind us of our calling to be his hands and feet in this world, to love from the center of who we are. You know, it's easy to read the Romans and nod through it as though we're just ticking off boxes. I would go through it, the entire package, and I could passage and I could check boxes in, I would check it in three boxes. Yes, no, and I'm working on it. Sort of like a report card. So love from the center of who you are, I'd put a check mark. Don't fake it, put a check mark. Run for dear life from evil, put a check mark. Hold for dear life to good, check mark. Be good friends who love deeply, you'd put a check mark. Practice playing second fiddle. I think that's hard for most of us, and we could all say we're working on it. Don't burn out. That would be a no for me. Keep yourself fueled and inflamed. I'm working on it. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Yes. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Yes. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Yes, and I continue to work on it. We could easily go through all of it, and if we were keeping score, come out with likely a very high score. But if we really look at what Paul is asking us, we would see that he is asking us to be like Christ. And in order to be the hands and feet of Christ, we have to look at what Christ did with his hands while he walked with us. Now, through Scripture, we have a record of the way Jesus lived, and other stories offer clues of how we continue his work. So, number one, Jesus knew that he had to spend time with his Father. He had to connect with God through prayer. When we have a particularly hard time as Christians, we always revert to prayer as our anchor. Even when times are great, we revert to prayer to give God thanks for all we've been given. And when we pray with faith communities from around the globe for a cause, we call on his grace and we respond. Throughout the Gospels, we hear that Jesus often withdrew to a solitary place in order to be closer to God. After he fed the 5,000, Jesus sent the disciples even away after he dismissed the crowds, and he went off by himself. He found his sanctuary away from the crowds. He found his balance in conversation with God. And so it stands to reason, if Jesus withdrew to find his balance and his sanctuary, we too need to find the balance, that some place that balances us, a time of day that allows us to feel his presence. Now, everyone, I think, even though you don't know it, has a special place where we connect with Christ. Everyone struggles at times to find their balance. But if we listen, just cut out the noise, and we listen to feel the presence of Christ in our lives, we can feel the beat of our hearts and know that Christ is present. Being alone with Christ provides us with the opportunity to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, the advocate that's with us forever. Well, sometimes my fill-up comes from church. Sometimes my fill-up comes in a meeting or in conversations with friends. Sometimes my fill-up comes when I drive around this beautiful area that we live in. Sometimes I forget to check my Christ tank to see if I'm nearing the empty mark. When I get too focused on something, or I get so busy when I wake up that I just wake and work and then sleep again, I find myself out of sorts. My body knows that I need the grace of God and the fill-up of the Holy Spirit to keep things balanced. And that's why God has given me lay worship leading. Coming here refills my tank each and every time. From the moment I start to work on an order of service until I type the final amen from my message, this process allows me to fill up. So thank you. Thank you for asking me to be here today. Thank you for filling up my tank. We tend to hate silence. Well, maybe hate is the wrong word. We find discomfort in silence. We can hear the breathing of the person next to us. It might be irritating. We can hear the ticks and creaks of our homes. But if you focus on just the sound of silence, cutting through everything else, you enter into a place where your fill-up can happen. Now, I'm sure that some of you, maybe most of you, know about contemplative prayer. It's also called centering prayer. A centering prayer actually took a turn into our century with the book called The Cloud of the Unknown. It's an anonymous 14th century manual on contemplative meditation, a prayer where we are resting in God. The focus is to deepen our relationship with God. And back when I worked in the Holy Spirit School Division, we would have division retreat days. And in this one, they actually offered a class in contemplative centering prayer. So I signed up. My prayers with God are always a conversation. I speak, I rant, I rave, I request, I give thanks, I open my thoughts and my heart to God, and I seem not to stop talking. With this prayer, I had to keep my mouth closed. I had to keep my mind and heart open to hear and allow God to be present. I found it was harder than I anticipated. Father William Basil Pennington writes, "Contemplative prayer. It is a prayer of being, to be, not a prayer of saying, thinking, feeling, imagining. In this prayer, we don't give God our thoughts or ideas or words or aspirations. We give God ourselves. It's a prayer of being." It's very difficult to turn off the distractions, the beeping and the ticking and the sounds of life around us. So to facilitate this, we were asked to choose a word, a one or two word phrase that would bring us back to center, to be a symbol of our intention to be present with God. Faith, Jehovah, the way, peace, Savior, Redeemer. Now, sitting comfortably, we were not allowed to lie down. We had to close our eyes and settle briefly and silently introduce our sacred word. When thoughts begin to enter our mind, we were to ever so gently return to that sacred word. At the end of the 45 minutes of silence, and hopefully not having to repeat the word too often in your head, that you were able to actually have a centering prayer and just be present with God in the moment. The leader repeated the Lord's Prayer very slowly and thoughtfully. We just listened. Father Thomas Keating writes, "Centering prayer is a relationship with God and a discipline that fosters that relationship. It's an exercise of faith, hope, and love. It's a movement beyond conversation with Christ to communion, and it habituates us to the language of God, which is silence. I know that some of you live alone, and silence is not always your friend. But this week, I invite you to hear it differently. Listen for the beating of Christ's heart in time with yours, to engage in silent conversation, shutting off your mind and just resting in God. 2, Jesus was willing to be interrupted as he went about his work. He was given to do. Now, most of the accounts that we have of Jesus interacting with people and performing miracles begins with the phrase such as Jesus went on from there. He was often traveling to another destination when somebody approached him in need of healing. Now, while his disciples discouraged or tried to deter these seekers, Jesus always had time for the people who crossed his path. Jesus was all about relationship. So he would stop and offer healing and care to all he asked. He was not tied to a schedule like we seem to be. So he was able to stop during the interruptions and the delay without it really being an issue. In fact, in those moments where he stopped, he often gave lessons and tried to teach and share with the disciples what their calling really was. We are the disciples of Christ, and stopping for those interruptions, giving it our full attention in that moment, is doing what Christ did. What would Jesus do? He would listen. He would touch. He would heal. He would bless. Our interruptions may just be listening, lending an ear. Our interruptions may be healing by offering to pray for someone. Each interruption is a blessing. And if we become so focused on what we're doing and forget that interruptions are a necessary part of our fill-up, we lose the gift. Christ came not to the powerful and the elite. Christ came for us, the tax collector, the prostitutes, those who are downtrodden. Now, in our own lives, we have the unexpected, the unplanned, and the inconvenient interruptions, and those are all given to us for a reason. We've heard stories of people being delayed and then hearing about a catastrophe that they avoided by not being in that place at that time. God intervened by placing them where they really were needed. We are given endless opportunities to assist and aid those who need us. They need, as St. Teresa said, to see Christ's compassion and his good works through us. It's our opportunities in the unplanned and unexpected and often inconvenient interruptions that we become the hands and feet of Christ. We are doubly blessed being used by Christ for his kingdom and also filling up our own tanks when it happens. What a blessing to be interrupted. 3, Jesus was willing to get his hands dirty. So recall the story when Jesus chose to wash the feet of his disciples in order to teach them about being a servant. In that time, washing dirty feet was the lowliest of jobs. Yet Jesus got on his feet and tenderly washed the dusty feet of those he loved the most, and then sent them out to do the same. In fact, he said clearly in John 13:15, "I have sent you an example that you also should do as I have done for you." Small acts, simple acts, opening the door for a stranger, sharing a smile at someone you don't know, washing the dishes without being told, going for tea with a total stranger. All work, play, and living are done with Christ's compassion and with his presence. His grace and his presence and his understanding are placing you in that moment of sanctuary. It's when you feel and know that you are being filled up. Life is messy. People are complicated. And getting our hands dirty literally and figuratively requires a willingness to get involved in the middle of the mess and complications. Just as Jesus did those menial tasks, he worked and walked and prayed for and blessed all those who came to him. We are called to work and walk and pray and bless all those who come into our lives each day. Now, throughout his life, Jesus shared the blessings of God to all who would listen. He touched lepers. He welcomed women and children. He dined with criminals and championed the poor. He defended the powerless. Jesus spent his time on this earth with the hated and the outcasts and claimed that he came to preach good news to the poor. Paul's opening words in verse 9, love from the center of who you are, and when you do, the rest is easy. The rest falls into place and allows us to become the hands and feet of Christ. When we look at our hands again, we will see them reaching out, offering aid, pulling in to give a hug, feeding and nurturing as Christ would do. He is present in all we do, in everyone we meet, in each day and in each hour. May you find your fill-up station and hear Christ in the silence. Remember the promise that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Those who keep Christ's commandments are those who love Christ, and those who love Christ are loved by God. Christ will be in them, you in me and I in you. I found this prayer by Roy Lesson, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, my heart is a door. Here is the key. My life is a ship. Here is the helm. My soul is a homestead. Here is the deed. My choices are yours. Direct them. My thoughts are yours. Sanctify them. My rights are yours. Own them. My feet are surrendered. Guide them. My hands are yielded. Use them. My steps are submitted. Order them. My will is yours. Control it. My day is yours. Direct it. My love is yours. Seal it. Amen.
There in the garden calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Come see His hands and His feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve,
let us pray. Loving God, we are grateful that you are a God of complete, total goodness. And because you are, we can trust that you are with us in every situation, no matter how difficult. Help each of us to embrace fully that understanding of you as a trustworthy God of goodness. We are coming close to the beginning of a school year. We ask that all teachers begin their year with new hope, new creativity, and the awareness of the needs of each student. May they each share your love with all students that they encounter in the form of kindness and reassurance. There are staggering numbers of people in all parts of the world who were affected by wildfire through loss of homes and family members, as well as animals. Open all of our hearts to offer the help they need to the best of our ability. There is suffering of various kinds all through our communities. We ask that those that can be healed can find the help they need to recover. For those that are facing serious illnesses, we ask that you give them the peace they need, as well as your comfort in a gentle form that they recognize as coming from you, and that their pain is eased. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray together the offertory prayer for this week. Receive these gifts from our hands, the fruit of our work and calling. Yet even more than this, receive the shared gift of our hearts, our desire to serve and love you in the way of Christ. Amen. Friends, you will have noticed that even though it's the first Sunday of the month, we do not have the table set for communion. Because of the way things have been scheduled while Reverend Diane is on leave, our communion services for September and October will be the second Sunday of those months. So please join us for those as well.
Go now with the grace of God, who is present in your lives, in the mess, in the interruptions, in the silence. Find your center. Find Christ in your silence. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
By the Lord's sea and sky, I have heard my people cry.
One who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
I don't know.